Hey everybody, it's Adam, live and in person for you. Hey everybody, it's Adam, wonder who he'll interview.
Hey everyone, it's Adam, and today I am so excited to be catching up with one of my entertainment idols, three-time Emmy Award winner, Katie McLean, who has been bringing the sass and comic relief to CBS's Beyond the Gates as Danny's best friend, Pamela. Katie and I last spoke in 2024 when she was starring in Austin Pendleton's play, Orson's Shadow. And now I am thrilled to be speaking with Katie once again as she returns to the theatrical stage to be directed by Austin Pendleton in Walter John Thompson's What Happened Was, which will be playing in the Chains Theater Summer One Act Festival for three performances only. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Adam Rothenberg, and for the past 16 years, I have been going behind the scenes with celebrities from the world of film, television, theater, and music. With over 2,200 interviews under my belt, I make my guests feel comfortable and at ease, allowing them to talk about life behind the curtain. So without further ado, please welcome Katie McLean. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Adam. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for being here. So I have to kick things off by asking, how did What Happened Was come your way?
Oh, that's a good question. Walter John Thompson and I have been friends for, you know, almost 30 years, and I never knew that he was a playwright until he started coming to my shows at Axial Theater, and he confessed, you know, that he had actually started writing many, many years ago and had studied with Eduardo Muchado, a very, very well-known and respected playwright and teacher at Columbia University. So, you know, when someone tells me they have a secret passion, and they're a friend, I'm always curious, especially if it aligns with my secret passion. And he sent me some of his plays and I just fell over. I was like, what, why have these plays not been produced? Why have you put this in a drawer? And so it was that moment where I was like, I have to figure out how to do this play. And then The Chain and I had developed a relationship in part because I directed a play by an ensemble member of Axial Theater named Udim Nam. And I had a wonderful experience with that. And then they invited me to other things and their show that they put on, an Eric Bogosian show. And it was just, you know, a nice relationship that developed. And so they invited me to submit a play. They said, what would you like to do for the summer festival? And I thought, I got it. And so I submitted my friend Walter's play and they liked it. So here we are, you know, and I wanted to also, I said, oh, you know what? I'll act in this one as opposed to directing. Cause this is really challenging and really fun. It's very surreal. It's very tricky language, but it's a great thing for me to work out on, which is what I'm kind of looking for, that kind of material, which makes you grow. So that's how it happened. And then I thought, well, who would be a fun director to work with? And I remembered Austin, of course, who's such a joy and such a treasure. And I asked him and he said, yes. But it's a small group. It's a great group. We also have a terrific assistant director named Will Davari, who's worked with Austin before at the Schoolhouse Theater. And so we have a really nice team and everybody pitches in. So
that is so nice. Yeah. Walter's very lucky to have you as a friend. As I'm sure you are lucky to have him.
I am. He's been a really great friend and he's just a really lovely person and great to talk to. And so I'm really happy to have had some opportunities to open doors for people as doors have been open for me.
That is wonderful. And you touched on something as you were explaining how the show came your way, about how this challenges you as an actress. And that's actually one of my next questions is, with the show only running for three performances, anyone who follows you on social media will see how busy you are. So how do you feel by saying yes to this show, your skills as an actress will be enhanced?
Oh, wow. Well, this show is about a half an hour and I talk a lot. And it is a unique kind of plot line in which it's two characters on stage who know that they are characters in a play, and they're talking about being characters in a play. So, when what are they doing there, and why are we here, and what's going on, and who are you, and what do I want from you, and dealing with an audience, are they there, are they listening, are they talking back to us, do they, and so it's really unique in terms of using your imagination as well as some of the tools that actors have to use in terms of figuring out, where are we, who am I, where am I, what am I doing, and it's really challenging in those aspects. So I know that I can feel it already. It's anytime you work on really challenging material, it's like going to the gym and you're benching heavier and heavier weights. It can't help but make you stronger.
I love that. And what would you say you relate most to about your character?
Well, she's an actress. Like me. And so it definitely makes you look in the mirror a little bit, and I guess have a little bit more compassion for how vulnerable and how challenging it is. I'm always seeking to be less judgmental about the characters that I play, and just characters in general, and to just keep trying to find the humanity within them, even if they are ridiculous or dark or stupid or evil or pretentious or, all the fun things that, human beings can be. To really get in underneath that and find, love, compassion, and caring, and acceptance for them.
I love how you describe that, because I feel like Pamela is like a great example of that on Beyond the Gates, because you bring a lot of sass to that role. But you also hold Dani very accountable for all of her actions, and you push her to be a better person. And I feel like it encompasses so many of those things you're just talking about.
It's funny, I love working with Carla Moseley. She's wonderful. And we're so proud together, I think I can say, to be representing a female friendship that is complex, that is about wanting the best for your friend, as well as, wanting them to be the best person they can possibly be, but accepting them also when they are not, because that's also part of what you love about them. and so that's great. It's a really challenging also, because there's a lot of dialogue on the show, and when I just come in and drop in for a show here and there, it's a lot, it's like kind of like if you're here every day, it's exhausting in one way, but you're getting a run up, every day it kind of is grinding in. And if you're just dropping in, it's like dropping into like an active circus, and you have to figure out what's going on, where am I, what's the plot, who are you, what am I doing. Okay, good, okay.
Well, you do very well.
Oh, bless you, thank you so
Yes, you're
much.
welcome. Now, going back to what happened was, as somebody who has worked with Austin previously, how do you feel he elevates you as an actress since he's directing?
He is, one of the greats for a reason. His insights and his notes, and the timing of his notes, the stories that he tells, they're everything that you hope for as an actor. And the process of the rehearsal is everything that you hope for, right? That's what you want, you long for, is these kinds of notes that make you better, that make you better, and an understanding of what to say and when it's time to stop talking as well. Oh, it's so great. It's so great. And I mean, I'm trying to think of like, oh, well, here's a story he was telling recently just about himself, because he's also an actor. And I think sometimes actors do make really, really good directors. He did a show where he got a very bad review. And someone said to him, you're probably not going to work for 7 years on the big stage, Broadway. So just prepare yourself, because that was a piss poor review, and you're gonna have to eat it. And he discovered that Equity has this contract called the showcase contract, and you can put up small shows for small amounts of money and sort of like an off Broadway kind of vibe, and keep working. And so he did, and he decided he was going to do every role that he ever wanted to do, whether he was right for it or not. And so for all that time, he just worked and worked and worked and worked, and people came to see him, and he had great shows and not so great shows. But it really showed to me like, not only the kind of resiliency you have to have, but the self-directedness, you have to have as an actor, which they don't really talk about that much. Most of the time, We're told like, oh, we're waiting. Oh, it's slow, waiting for your agent or manager to call. And I definitely do not believe in that because I go crazy if I sat around waiting for a freaking phone to ring. Like, that's not gonna happen with me. So him also, like somebody of his stature and his experience, sharing that he once had like really tough times and what he did in order to overcome them after winning, Tonys and Obies and like the business can be mean. And so you have to figure out how as an artist you're gonna r keep alive no matter what,
Yes. That's incredible. I feel like you do that as well. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, just following you on social media, I see between Axial Theater, Beyond the Gates, this show, you're working on so many things at one time. And I want to remind everybody, you're a three-time Emmy Award winner. It's like do you feel like do you ever feel like at this level for you, do you have to audition a lot anymore, or are you at a certain level where it's more, I'm writing this for Katie. Oh, who do we want? We want Katie McLean. Let's just offer it to her.
It's really funny. I think I, at a very young age, saw how crazy people could be in the business once they got to a certain level. And so I think some part of my mind was just like, I will always be, working class. I will always be shovel and dig as an actor because that way I won't have to deal with that level of BS, which I just don't appreciate and enjoy. Because like if everybody's working hard towards a common goal, then you're all kind of it's just much more fun, right? Now I would certainly absolutely love people to be sending me scripts. Send me those scripts. Send me those offers. I mean, occasionally like I'll get an offer. Occasionally that does happen. And but I still audition. I still audition, and it's just the way it goes.
Well, coming back to what happened was the press notes state that two actors are trapped in an endless loop, confronting love, regret, and the fragile line between reality, performance, and the unbearable silence of being unseen. So I'm going to break this down into a few questions. My first question is going to be, when has there been a time you felt like you were in an endless loop?
Before we get to that answer, let's take a quick break and get a word in from one of our sponsors. We'll be back in a minute. Oh, wait. You don't know? You haven't heard? You must not be subscribed to the Call Me Adam Digest. When you sign up for the Call Me Adam Digest, you are the first to know. You get a front row seat to my interviews and podcast episodes, where you get to discover new things about your favorite celebrities. You get personal stories from the other side of the microphone that you wouldn't know by just reading, watching, or listening to my interviews. We get to have a weekly connection, and you can add some fun to your weekend. So come take a peek behind the curtain with the Call Me Adam Digest. Sign up today at callmeadam.com. Can't wait to see you there. Welcome back to Burying It All with Call Me Adam. So as you were saying.
Oof. The first thing that comes to mind, in a way, are those first that first chunk on All My Children of like, I think it was about 7.5 years. And every 2 years my contract would come up and I would think I should go try other things. And then I would re-sign and back at it I was again, and it happened like 3 or 4 times. And there was a reason for that. But combinations of reasons. But it definitely felt like, wow, this how am I going to break this loop? Because I don't want to be the same person. I've got to evolve. So every 2 years, I just decided that Dixie, the character on that show, was a completely different person. And I would change my hair, and I would change the way I dress. And that's like, Dixie is reinventing herself. That's the only way. It's the only way, You gotta find ways to make yourself interested, or else you'll just, your brain will crack.
Yes. Well, I'm very glad that you stayed on the show for as long as you did, because I didn't start watching the show till either like 2000, 2001-ish. So
Okay.
thank God you were still on the show because that was the show that introduced me to you.
Oh, thank you.
You're
Thank you.
welcome. Going back to what happened was, now the next part is regret. So my question about that is, what is one project that you had to say no to that you still regret to this day?
Oh, wow. That's really interesting. I don't say no to many things. I'm usually a yes sayer. I think it's instead of a project, I would say, I think around 2001, I got into NYU and I took a class and it was great, but it was became really, really difficult to do both school and As the World Turns at the same time. And I wish that I had not said no to school. I wish I had figured out some way to keep myself dedicated to at least, finishing that undergrad, because it really would, it really was expanding my mind and expanding my experience, and my understanding of life. And I really could have used that education,
Oh, that's
but
interesting.
yeah, so yeah.
And did you ever go back for your undergrad?
I mean, I went to four colleges that I all got into, and maybe five, because I went to a junior college too, and I never finished. I just was like,
Wow.
oh, I'll go to art school now. Oh, I'll do this school now. Oh, I'll do this school now. I'll
But
go to the new school. I'll be a writer.
how incredible is that, though? That I just feel like that actually is such living proof example that to make it in this profession, in this industry, in everything you have done, you didn't need that education because you got it. I mean, you got it through life. And I think it just goes to show that school may not be for everybody, and that's okay. And there's other ways to get that education.
There is a big difference between a college education and life education. There's a massive difference. And both are valid and both are really wonderful to have, but I think you need both, because the school of life will teach you how to survive. The school of education is really a wonderful opportunity to think about things and to, sit in conversation with other students and your teacher and contemplate, what does this mean? What's this about? So I met somebody recently. She went to Harvard, and she said when she was at Harvard, she always planned on being an actor. So she had this amazing education because she wasn't trying to be a great student. She was just trying to learn and enjoy learning, and enjoy learning at a very high level, obviously, but just to enjoy the experience. And I thought, wow, what a an amazing, boy, I would love to have that. Love to have that journey. I'm just here to take a class, just to enjoy this class. Yeah, let's do this, no worrying about the grade,
Yeah. Oh
So
my
that would be the
gosh.
way to go to school if you ask me.
Yes, definitely. Well,
Definitely.
moving on to the fragile line between reality and performance. When have you ever had the fragile line between reality and performance? Has there?
So many times. So many times. There is always the fragile line in me. In a way, I mean, maybe I'll say this. In a way, part of the job of being an actor is to bring your fragile line to the work, right? And if you're not walking in that danger zone, if you're not walking in that risk zone, then you're not really pushing yourself as far as you could potentially go. So you don't want to break yourself, but at the same time, you do want to see, like, how what I like to tell students, because I teach now too, is that there's a like the an actor's like a surfer, so you have to develop this sort of like Zen mindset, right? And the board is the words, and the ocean are your emotions. So you want to stick yourself to that board, to those words, right? Because that's what you're writing. But your feelings are going to come and go and change and move and go up and down and, rock you. And you just want to stay on the board. So you have to develop a certain cool inside to stick that board and not to associate yourself with your feelings, right? It's
That's a great
really,
analogy.
thank you.
Do you have an example of like one scene that you brought that line of reality that you feel comfortable sharing? And if you don't feel comfortable, that's okay.
Well, there was this There was this one 7-page monologue I had to do as Dixie, talking to into a camera, to my son JR, who was a little boy still at the time, telling him all about his mother because they had told me I was going to die, right? And my mother died when I was 25, so I knew a lot about. I was able to sort of go into that place where you empathize so much with, a mother who's going to die young. My mom was 57 when she died, and having to talk to the child and tell them to be strong and tell them to hang on and give them some sort of guidelines in life. And, that was really hard to do. It was really hard to do, for me at that time and just in general. Now, that seems to be the story of my life. If it's hard to do, it's like the bag that just is like, shh. It's hard. Call Katie.
Oh my gosh, that is, I mean, I want to say that's too funny, but at the same time, it's like, when does it ever get, do you get, do you ever get the easy button?
When they put me in a coma.
Oh my gosh.
That's the easy button. I was like, oh, it's a coma. Yay. How long am I in a coma for?
Oh my gosh, that is funny. Because you just sleep. I mean, you just lie there with your eyes shut.
Yeah, and crack jokes when your eyes are
Oh
open.
my gosh. Well, moving on to confronting love. So after 10 years of marriage, you and actor John Lindstrom announced your separation. You haven't worked with him a lot on Beyond the Gates, but I believe you recently had a few scenes together in the casino when you and Danny were in the casino. So, what advice could you offer someone who has to confront love by working with their ex? Because what is that like?
Well, I would say the foundation of any good relationship is a friendship. And I'm really grateful that John and I have a fantastic friendship. We are extraordinarily good friends. And so I would say, as advice to anybody who, might have to deal with that situation, just, don't be a jerk. Be friends. You're friends. You got together for a reason. And, you remember to be kind and be a friend to your friend. That's all.
That's good advice. Okay, and now going on to the unbearable silence of being unseen. When have you felt the silence of being unseen, and how did you make yourself more visible?
Oof. That's a good one. LA felt like that for me. It was about 10 years. And even though I was working a lot, it still felt like this strange environment where everybody's trying to be seen and nobody's getting seen and nobody's seeing you. And so you feel like, should I want to be seen? Should I want this? This is what I'm supposed to do. Or here I am, and I'm here. And they're like, yeah, that's nice. Yay, next. So here's actually, again, like what I think I've been blessed with moments of grace from other people, right? So I did not seek out being on Entertainment Tonight. And I did not seek out Deadline picking up my third Emmy and making that announcement of it being like a history, a moment in history. I'm the first woman to have done that, and three for three different characters on three different shows,
On three different networks.
and on three different networks. So the point of that, although that sounds sort of ridiculous, is that it the characters and the environment and the backup, right, from your team, from the production team, were all different production teams. They were all different writers. They were all different characters, right? So I wasn't getting like the same writing and winning. It's great to win an Emmy for the same character three times. God bless. That's freaking awesome. It's really hard work, but to have done it like in this way and different decades as well, which is also something amazing. I just feel like to not go seeking to be seen or to not go seeking attention, but to just do your work, just do your work and put your work first and try to do the best work and keep your standards high. And then that gets recognized, and you can get fortunate that people will remember that and value that. And I'm so grateful for those people, who've watched and noticed and see what I'm trying to do. It's hard to even like put into words what I'm trying to do. I just think I'm if anything, I'd say I'm just trying to stand for something as an artist within this crazy business of show, and to hang on to that resiliency and not let the BS, knock me down or take precedence. And I think that needing to be seen can knock you down. And it's a little different than wanting to be seen. I don't know how, that may sound like I'm parsing words, but wanting to be seen to me connotes a certain kind of inner desire that that I have something that I want to show you. Need has an element of like desperation.
Yes.
Yeah. So choice over desperation, because the desperation usually says that there's something in there that you're hoping will be fixed by being seen. And wanting to be seen, I hope, is like I've made something of quality that I feel passionate and about, and I want to share that with you, and I want you to see that. That's important to me.
That's a
And
great way to differentiate between the two.
thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, so now I love the title of the show, What Happened Was. So this is going to sort of be like an open-ended question, but can you complete this sentence for me? What happened was.
I took a long walk and I never went home.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
That's like the story of my life.
Absolutely love that. Well, I do have to start wrapping things up. So because I'm going to also release this interview on my podcast as well, I love ending my interviews playing off of my show's title, which is Burying It All with Call Me Adam. Now, I know we have talked about a lot of things today, but if you could bear it all, what is something you would share with us today that you haven't previously talked about?
The first thing that comes to mind is that my little dog, Mr. Peanut, died last September. And although I may have written about it or mentioned it a little bit on Instagram, people may sentimentalize the death of a pet, but boy, is it a heavy thing, man. It is a heavy thing, that loss. And that love is just as real as you may love a person. I think I heard in New York City that they are changing the law. So the pet is now a family member. And I think that's such a great idea, because they really are a family member. They're a member of your family. And, these animals in our lives are, they're sentient beings with thoughts and feelings. And there's something to be said for that. Like how we treat our animals is really matters. And I'd love to see a little more care. I mean, I'm not a vegetarian, but like a little more care put into that on so many levels. So that's what I would.
It's true. Our animals definitely. I mean, I had a hamster growing up, and I'll never forget. We went out for pizza one night. We came home, and my hamster was dead. I've never forgotten my hamster. And, I still think my parents don't live in their house anymore, but I always wonder, did the new people, like I buried him in the backyard, did the new people keep him there? Did they dig him up? I always think about what happened with him,
He
but
probably became a beautiful rose in the road. The hamster.
yes, a beautiful hamster rose. I love that. Well, Katie, I cannot thank you enough for joining me today, and I want to remind everybody who's watching and listening, Katie will be starring in What Happened Was in the Chain Theaters Summer One Act Festival for three performances only. July 22nd, August 1st, and August 2nd. And I will have the ticket link on my entertainment platform, callmeadam.com. And Katie, I'm so grateful for you.
Oh, I'm grateful for you, Adam. Thank you so much. And I hope you can come to the show.
Thank you. I hope so too.
Let me know. Send
I
you
will. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well,
a.
thank you everybody for watching, and we'll see you next time.
He'll get the dirt and the scoop and the story, for he happens to be in the know. Just ask anybody who's had him. Adam lives for the business of show. Callmeadam.com.